Dear friends and listeners, welcome to episode 145 of Let's Talk with Skoggs. I hope you are doing well. This episode is with Mila. They are a duo, CJ and Ren. Their friendship is infectious. They sound like they're having a great time, having fun, making music together. They're at the very early stages of this project. We talk about their new single, Thanh Qua, is Vietnamese for I Love You. Go check out the video, stream the song. It's very fun. We talked a lot about how they met and just the early stages of writing music together, naming the band, all of just the basics of things getting off the ground and getting started. You can check them out, Mila for Fun, all over the internet. Truly a blast to connect to them. They're just at the beginning of this and just sound so happy. So if you're having a rough day, enjoy this one. These two sound like fast friends and they're having a great time. So here it is, episode 145 of Let's Talk with Skoggs with Mila.
And okay, so CJ and Ren. Again, yes. So nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well.
Okay, so this is so fun because I love meeting artists and bands when they are just coming into the world as the new project, the first song. And so this is very exciting for me. How are y'all feeling about it?
I mean, it's exciting for sure. It's just, I don't know, for me personally, this is just like, I guess like a breath of relief because I've been like writing demos for this project for what feels like forever. And like even like the final mixes of the songs, like the song for the music video that we're about to put out, we've had that for, it's only been like a year, but it feels like it's been 5 years.
It's an eternity.
Yeah, so much has happened. And yeah, man, it's just, it's fine. It's good to get back on the horse, I guess, because yeah, it's been a while since I've released music myself personally. This is CJ's first band. This is her first interview, actually.
I was gonna say that I've never released music before, so like everything that's happening is like brand new. So it's like, it's a lot to think about, like especially when I'm at my day job, I'm just like thinking about doing all this other cool stuff that I'd rather be doing. So it's like, it's really exciting.
I love it. It is exciting, and there's so few times that we do something for the first time. So enjoy it.
I'm going to try.
Yeah, right. Easier said than done.
Yeah. Try not to be stressed out too.
I'm going to ask a pretty lame question, but I'm just always curious. Like I didn't even have to name my dog. She already had a name. So I didn't even get to name her. But the project is called Mila. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So I know it's kind of lame to ask this question, but I'm just curious about everything about writing music with someone, how you decide on the project name, how you pick the way it's going to look. Like there's so much that goes on behind it. So I am curious about the name for the project.
Well, first of all, that was not a lame question at all.
Okay, good.
Totally valid.
Yeah, totally, completely valid. That's usually my first question about any band I enjoy.
Okay.
But I'll try my best not to give a long-winded answer, but I'm a big movie guy. CJ is not, and neither is her sister, who is my partner. But being that I like film so much, I try to introduce them to all the movies that I have enjoyed throughout my life. And I mean, it can be kind of hard because like I'll make like a joke about a movie and they'll be like, I've never seen that. But it was a situation like that where I referenced Forgetting Sarah Marshall, and both of them were like, I've never seen that movie. And I was like, yeah, exactly. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? We're watching that shit right now.
I don't watch movies. I don't know why. It's like a commitment to like sit there for 2 hours.
It is. I get that, but I love it. I love a good story. So we had already been like working on the project for quite some time, and we didn't have a name set up. I thought naming the band Forgetting Sarah Marshall would be cool. No one else in the room was on board with that. So we were just watching the movie and, you know, I was antsy. I'm like super energetic typically. And I just wanted to get the whole band name thing over with.
We were talking about it during the day. So yeah. Like when we got to the movie, like we were still like just throwing around names and like brainstorming. Don't worry, we were paying attention to Forgetting Sarah Marshall. But like, we're still thinking, like, we're still in the mindset of thinking about a name.
Yeah, so I'm just like, I'm antsy about it, and I want to get it over with. And I just start naming everything that comes on screen. I'm like, Vase, Russell Brand, Jason Segel. And of course, the queen herself pops up, Mila Kunis. Yeah. I'm like, Mila Kunis. And then, you know, someone was just like, we can just, how about Mila?
And we're like, yeah, that works. We all like audibly gasped, and we're like,
that's it. And then, you know, we put the brackets on it just because, you know, we thought it looks cool.
Yeah, you got to stylize it a little.
Exactly.
Yeah. Amazing. So this, at this point, had we a couple songs written, or had we just decided, let's do this and we need a name to get started, or were there songs first?
Oh, we had 8 songs, recorded and produced and everything just ready to go, that we just didn't, like, we're still sitting on, like, all those songs. Yeah. Tungwa, the one that we're putting out, next week, is just the first of, like, a large batch of songs that we have had for quite some time.
I think we had, like, just gotten back from the studio, like, finished all the songs. So that's why we were, like, we need a name. Like, we actually need a name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we wanted to, like, get started on, like, the branding and everything like that, you know, and, like, file, like, commissioning a logo.
Yeah, we were on go mode for sure.
We've been on go mode for the last, like, year and a half. Yeah. It's tough.
Yeah.
And are you currently in Massachusetts?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so I grew up in Rhode Island.
Oh, fun.
Yes. So I've been to Boston a lot of times as a kid. The Science Museum was a standard field trip.
Of course, sure.
You know, I love Fenway Park. America runs on Dunkin', but I think it's New England that runs on Dunkin', really.
Yep. I go there every day. That's not a lie.
So I do want you to know that I have regionally – you know, it's so fun when I get to talk to bands that are, like, somewhat from my area, but I am much older than you guys, I'm going to assume. So get me up to date on what the music scene is like in Boston nowadays.
There's obviously, like, there's, like, the two sides of it, because there's like, all the national touring acts that come through, and then there's, like, the local scene.
Right.
CJ is probably more in tune with the national touring act side. She goes to, like, bigger shows. Like, she saw Lady Gaga pretty recently. Gosh.
In the summer. It was awesome.
You saw the 1975 too, right?
I saw the 1975 when they came through. Like, I like pop music, so, like, when pop artists come through, I usually go to see them. I like just going to shows in general. Mm-hmm. But, like, the shows are always so massive. Like, even the Lady Gaga show was, like, the most grossing Fenway Park show in, like, the history of the stadium.
Wow.
It was crazy. But, like, as for the local scene, like, me and Ren go to a lot of local shows, especially in the hardcore scene.
Yeah, we're super involved in, like, the metal and hardcore scene around here, which is, like, probably a weird thing to hear from us. But
Gosh, we are all more than one thing. We do not have to, like, only like pop music. We can like all of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I do like pop music. Like, don't get it twisted. Like, I love Lady Gaga and the 1975. It's just, I'm like, I'm 27, and, like, I've been going to shows since I was, like, 15. And it's not that I'm sick of it. It's just, dude, my fucking back hurts. Like, I can't do it. I really can't. Even when I go to a local show and there's only, like, 4 bands on the bill, and, like, I know everybody there, I'm just like, dude, I need to go home.
Yeah.
I got work in the morning. I can't do this. CJ's still young. You're what, 24?
I'm 24. Yeah. I'm a little younger than Ren. I've also been going to shows in, like, the emo scene, alternative scene, like, since high school. Mm-hmm. And, like, I've done all the moshing. I can't do that type of stuff anymore. Yeah.
you can still go to a show and have some vodka crayons and go to work in the morning, though. I can't do that.
Yeah,
I can't.
That's fine.
I can't do that.
The
scene's pretty cool around here. There's a lot of happening bands. Yeah.
A lot of new bands, and, like, we know our friends book a lot of the shows.
Our friends book all the shows.
Our friends book all the shows in the South Shore, so, like, they always hook us up and, like, let us come in for free most of the time. Mm. And, like, they always put, like, new acts on the bill, and, like, whenever they see a new band, they check them out, and they're always the ones, like, reaching out because they want new bands in the scene. Mm. So it's, like, really, really cool.
Yeah. I don't know if you've ever been to Hingham. It's like a small, like, town right next to, what is it, Nantasket? Is it Nantasket Beach?
Nantasket. I don't think it's that.
It's not that.
I don't think it's that.
All right. There is a prominent beach near the town of Hingham that
Oops, sorry,
I cannot quite, the name's on the tip of my tongue, but I can't quite remember it. So everyone's going to think that I'm not actually from Massachusetts. That is not the case. I'm just drawing a blank. But there's a small venue called the Sons of Italy in Hingham that like numerous absolutely insane hardcore metal shows have happened that have been put on by our friends. Like Drain played there. Gulch played there. Vane just shot a music video for their song called Hell Night there. And I think when it comes to like the Massachusetts scene, if there is like a show of notice going on, it's probably happening at the Sons of Italy in Hingham.
Cool.
And CJ and I are probably also there.
Yeah.
There's also a Gatekeeper Jam, which is like a series of shows that's been put on in like Brockton that a bunch of like happening hardcore bands have been playing. Like they just had, so they book in like a Brockton VFW and it's like 150 cap, but they just had a show there that was, there was like 400 people there. Yeah. It was Fiddlehead,
Drug Church, Fleshwater,
and Angel Dust,
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. So,
and like, I'm not sure if you're familiar with this TikToker. His name's Matt Shearer and he's like on WBZ Radio and he does a lot of, like
Man on the Street interviews.
Yeah, Man on the Streets, but it's like Massachusetts towns.
Cool.
And it's super, super funny because it's just like really like,
it's local humor.
It's New England people and interviewing New England people, and it's just like so meta and like funny. And he went to the show and he was there and like
there's pictures of him crowd surfing. Crowd
surfing with the microphone, like interviewing people. It's so
awesome.
So sick.
Yeah, so
I need to find that.
The mass scene's pretty cool, but you did mention you're from Rhode Island. We spent some time there as well. Our producer studio is in Rhode Island.
Cool, so. In Providence?
Yeah. He used to be in Providence. He's in North Kingston.
Yeah.
And then my old band used to play Providence like all the time, like Firehouse 13, The Met, like.
Oh, The Met.
Yeah, dude.
If I could go back to high school, that was me.
That
sweaty.
Venue is awesome.
Oh, sweaty.
That so venue sweaty. Rocks.
Gosh, that just made my heart swell. You saying The Met? Oh my god!
Yeah, bro, I know about it. I promise. I'm legit.
He's really.
I love it.
He's been around the block.
I love it. So, tell me about how you two met, because I'm so fascinated by co-writers. You know, bands at work. You find that person or people that you trust, and you feel like you can be vulnerable enough in front of where you can share ideas, because that's really scary. You know, be like, I wrote this song. Can I play it for you?
Right.
And hope that they're open and they're going to be gentle if it needs improvement, or they're going to hype you up if it's the most incredible thing they've ever heard. It's like a very special relationship. So how did you two meet, and then how did you forge that bond where we're here now and we've got a bunch of songs recorded?
So CJ and I both work two jobs right now, and we both have a full-time job and a part-time job. We both work at Vans
and the South Shore Mall.
Yeah, the South Shore Plaza in Braintree.
Are you kidding me?
No, very serious. No. And we've both been working there for
I'm coming up on 5 years.
I've been working there for like 7 years,
and
I think.
Yeah, you've been there a lot longer than I have.
And we met there.
And I had seen him around because he went to a lot of the same shows that I went to in high school.
I was Hot Topic.
So I always saw Ren around, and he worked at the Hot Topic at the mall. So whenever I went in high school, I was like, oh my God, is that guy? Is he at the shows?
Yeah.
He was the Hot Topic.
Everyone called me Hot Topic guy who didn't know me. Please don't. I shouldn't even mention that because I don't want that to turn into a thing because that is not me. But she transferred to the Braintree store because she went to school in the city, and so she worked.
Yeah, I worked at the Newberry Street Band.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So then she transferred to my store, and like
I saw you walk out of the back room, and I was like, "No way! It's the Hot Topic."
We're closing together one day, and I'm just like, "Yeah, I want to be this girl's friend." Aww. So I walked. In retrospect, it was probably mad weird. I'm like a super open person, and like I'm not like reserved at all.
Yeah, he's very sociable, so he likes to talk to people.
I just kept going up to her and being like, "Oh, like, do you like this thing?" And like, she at the time she was pretty quiet, so she was kind of just like, "Yeah." And I was like, "Oh, word."
Yeah,
word.
I was extremely shy, and I still am to an extent. But back then, I was like so in my shell, like I couldn't really talk to people. Like I can't even believe I had that job. It's like it's talking to people.
Sales job?
Yeah, exactly. I wasn't really about to take that for an answer, though. I like strong arm turned to being my friend. I was like, oh, do you like the 1975? And she's like, yeah, I do, actually. I was like, oh, where, we're best. I was like, we're friends now.
Yeah.
And I showed her my band at the time, and I was like, do you like pop punk? And she was like, absolutely. So I showed her my band. She's like, oh, this is really cool. And I was like, yeah. And then we kind of just, we were friendly at that point. And then, you know, I was going on tour with my band, and I was like, hey, do you have any, like, single friends? And she told me that her sister thought that I was attractive, and I had met her sister.
My mom and my sister used to visit me at the store, and my sister would be like, who's that guy, can you give him my number, who's that guy? And then as soon as Ren asked me, I was like, you know what, actually I do know somebody.
Yeah, I had seen her sister before, but her sister is this goth queen, and she has like a crazy resting bitch face, so I was like, there was never gonna be a chance that I like approached her, because she looks insanely unapproachable.
She's like, yeah, she's extremely goth. She dressed in all black, and she, yeah, the RBF is definitely real.
So I'm like, yeah, I was like going on tour the next day, so I was like, oh word, like when I come back, like I'll hit her up. And so her sister and I hung out one time after I came back from tour, and we literally never stopped hanging out. So I was just always around, and CJ and I were just always around each other.
We realized we were the same person.
Yeah, we had a lot of the exact same interests and a lot of the same personality traits, and slowly she morphed into just another version of me, dressing like, because she dresses like me, and now like we go to the gym together and we just do all the same stuff. And you know, like I like I said earlier, I had been writing like the demos for this project for a long time,
and Ren knew, like,
I grew up
playing drums and like playing guitar and like doing like silly little covers on like YouTube and stuff like that.
So I showed her the demo to a song that is not out. It's called Baby You Can Have It. It was very bare bones. I showed her because like I was basically like telling her, hey, like we're starting this new band together.
Oh.
And so I showed her the demo, and like a week later she like mustered up the courage to be like, Ren, I really want to play drums for your project. And like I laughed in her face, and I was like, dude, like
it's already happening.
Yeah, like we're doing this together. Like this is like our thing.
Yeah.
I showed you because this is the thing that we're doing together.
I love that. And then what was the transition like from that to we're gonna actually write songs together?
I mean, I might sound like some kind of like total like control freak here, but okay. I'm super particular about songwriting. Yeah. It's not that like I don't let CJ write the songs. It's just she likes my style of songwriting.
Perfect.
And I have been doing, and I know how I like to work. So she was kind of just like, hey, do your thing, and like, and I'll give you the notes. And I was like, all right,
I give him the notes, and then we go to the studio, and then I write the drum parts. Like I usually listen to the
Don't let her lie to you. She writes the drum parts well in advance, and then we go to the studio. She does not do
it on
the spot.
That's what I was saying. I was about to get
you're not
there
him.
If you
you're
let
not
me
him.
Finish.
You're not him. You're not
See,
him.
Oh, my God, dude.
You did not do it on the spot.
All right. If you ever hear us fighting, it's because, like, we just, like, we fight all the time, but we're never, like, actually.
Oh, yeah,
because he's literally, like, my big brother.
We're meatheads.
I was going to say, you sound like siblings.
Yeah, we're meatheads, like, too. Like, we lift a lot. So if anyone listening, if, like, you ever see us in public and we look like we're getting into a physical altercation, we like to shove each other, like, big time.
I grew up watching wrestling.
Yeah.
And, like, so I always wanted to have a sibling I could roughhouse with. So I always am just, like, shoving him around.
Yeah, she just shoved me just now.
Yeah.
Perfect. I want to talk about, and I'm going to try to pronounce this, Tung Qua is Vietnamese for I love you.
That was pretty good.
Yeah,
okay.
Good.
It's my first time trying to
I appreciate the effort. That was good, honestly.
I went on YouTube and tried to find resources so I could try
to
get something right.
Okay.
Really? That's good.
I was able to watch the video, which by the time this episode airs, people can go watch it. So go watch it, everyone. I watched it today because I was given a special link, and what a fun song, what a fun video. You look like you're having fun, like all around, just very good vibes, except for the one guy in the video who was a total buzzkill, but then things come around on him. But yes, I would love to hear the how we got the title of the song, the video, like just tell me everything.
So, I mean, CJ's half Vietnamese. Yeah. That obviously means her sister is as well. And I've been dating Catherine for like 5 years now.
Something like that.
So, their mom has been teaching me Vietnamese basically since like the day her and I started seeing each other. I'm still not that good at it yet. I try my best, but I'm learning still.
He understands a lot of stuff. It's really good.
Yeah.
Doing a good job.
Thank you. But Tung Hoa is like, you know, that's like one of the first things she taught me. And I don't know. It's just something that like her and I can like say to, like, we tell each other we love each other all the time. But like, you know, if it's like a special moment and like it, we just want to like express it like in a deeper way, like we can just like say it in her mother tongue, you know what I mean?
Oh, that's
really
kind of
like, thank you. Like that's where that comes from. And then I don't know, I guess like lyric, like obviously we say it in the song.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess lyrically it was just like super organic the way that chorus came about, because the song is about like having like toxic things, like just any kind of habit that's like unhealthy for you, and then choosing like a more healthy alternative. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like personified that with like drug use and like just like, you know, overall addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, you know, my relationship with her. And it was kind of just, yeah, I mean, you know, if, I feel like that kind of speaks for itself. I was like, I end up picking her in the song, you know what I mean? And I use that expression of love to like, to say that. And then the song title, like, I mean, you know, most people don't speak Vietnamese. Yeah, so it's kind of just like, hey, listen, it's kind of just explaining what I am saying in the song. Tung Hoa is Vietnamese for I love you. You know,
I mean, I got to learn something new, so thank you for teaching me something. Yeah,
that's another thing. CJ is like super in tune with you know, that side of her, so it's like, I don't know, using that as like the debut single for our band, it's like she gets to show off that side of herself to like the whole world, you know what I mean? Like that's an integral part of the project. Her,
yeah, I appreciate you saying that.
Dude, it's all love, man.
It's all love.
You can talk, you can tell her how shooting the video was.
Yeah, the video was, we shot it in 2 days, so it was like over a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So we shot the office scene and then the like karate scene with the janitor all in one day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really fun to see like behind the scenes stuff, because I've never seen like somebody shoot a music video before.
Yeah, it was her first music video.
And it was like, honestly, watching our director and like the filmographer do that, I got tired. Like, it was a lot of work watching them do that stuff. And
yeah,
like
we sat there for 5 hours doing
like
nothing
in the karate dojo. We were literally sitting there watching them, and like we wished we could help, because they were just doing so much. And especially like our friend who did the boss character, like him like going through physical pain on the ground, like watching him do that, he did it so convincingly. I was like, I felt bad. I was like, stop.
Oh.
Don't do that, please. And then the second day we shot all the performance stuff. And that was like, we literally had to play the song for like 2 hours straight, like with a big speaker blasting in my ear, like with the drums like loud in my face. Like, it was like a full performance for like 2 hours. And then we had to like transition into filming the scene with
the bodybuilder,
Big John, or the bodybuilder. And he was like,
shout out Big John.
Shout out Big John. He was the nicest man in the whole world. And he's like 6'2" and the most jacked dude you've ever seen. He was extremely nice. And like that gym space was like really cramped.
Oh my God, we didn't fit.
None of us fit into the room. So it was like, yeah, a lot of problem solving and like a lot of like, but it was overall like such a fun experience. And like, shout out our friend Matt at South Coast Industries for letting us shoot in his garage. He's the nicest dude ever. And
he's the one playing guitar.
He's the one playing guitar in the music video. And we had some terrible stuff happen while shooting. Like, Ren's guitar broke.
I wasn't going to say that. You didn't need to say
that. Sorry.
Hey, you gotta do the rose and you gotta do the thorn. You gotta be honest about the whole thing.
Exactly. It's just like, there was a lot of problems, but like he was always like there to troubleshoot everything. And like, it was so awesome and so fun. And like, all of our friends were there, so it was just like a big hangout. And it was awesome.
Yeah, if it looks like we're having fun in the video, it's because we were having.
Yes, there's big smiles on your faces the whole time.
Yeah,
it's nice to see. You know, like I said, it's the first video, the first song for CJ. It's the first everything. It's a very special time, and this project's, you know, it's being born. It's very special.
It's like a dream come true. Like even shooting a music video and like even doing like an interview is just like something I always dreamed about in high school and middle school. And like, I never had enough self-confidence to like go for it myself. So like meeting people like Ren, like meeting people, other people in the scene, like helped me like come into my own and like be able to do like this stuff. And like, I don't know. It's awesome. I'm like, yeah, thank you for having us again.
Of course. I do want to get to know you guys outside of music. So we play a game.
Oh, okay.
It's called Overshare.
All right.
It's, you know, it's a bunch of questions. Some are really silly questions. Some are more thoughtful. I have 179 as of today. So
179 questions?
Yes, so we're gonna pick some. So Ren,
oh my god, I thought you were gonna be like, okay.
Oh, we're not gonna. Oh, we don't have time for all of them.
80 questions right now.
Yeah,
no. Okay, so Ren, I mean, and you both have to answer, but we'll trade off who picks a number.
All right.
So Ren, if you could choose first 1 through 179.
Let's start with 13.
13. What do you do with a new idea?
Like a new song idea?
Just anything. Like, do you execute right away? Do you write it down? Do you put it in your phone? Do you share with CJ? Like, what do you do when inspiration strikes or you have a new idea? Because a lot of people have different process.
I write that shit down in my notes app. My notes app has, there's probably like over 1,000 notes in my phone. Most of them are just like silly little one-liners that I'm just like, that will probably never get used because sometimes I'll think of a one-liner in my head and I'm like, yo, this is fucking heater, like this shit is crazy. And then I show it to like CJ or my boy Liam that I do demos with, and they're like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Like, what is wrong with you? And I'm like, oh shit. Back to the drawing board. But yeah, I guess I just write it down in my notes app.
Good. CJ, do you have a process for ideas or when inspiration strikes?
A new idea. Yeah, I try to do things like right away, like as soon as I think about it, because like I'm the type of person that will forget about things. And like, I have a background in like industrial design and like creating, like doing, like building and making stuff with my hands.
Wow.
So whenever I think about something, I kind of have to do it like on the fly. So it'll be like 3 a.m. and I'm like, oh, I want to try to carve spoons. And then I'll like look up a video about how to do it and like get really obsessive over something.
Mm-hmm.
So like, that's how my brain works. So if I want to try a new hobby, or if like I have an idea to make something, or if I have an idea and I want to play it either on my guitar, or like I have a beat in my head, like I just have to do it on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah, sometimes it gets bad. I'll obsess over something for like months at a time.
Yeah, this may sound like super interesting, but when this motherfucker crawls into bed and starts whittling a fucking egg and like, fucking everywhere for days. Oh my god. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that was like after the summer, like in the fall, I like really got into, that's why I brought it up, because I did get really into like carving and like whittling and like making spoons. And I would literally be in bed. I had COVID at this time, like at one point in the fall. And for 5 days straight, I was in my bed, like whittling, and Ren would be in here and there's like wood shavings on the floor. And he's
oh my
like,
gosh.
What the fuck's wrong with you?
Yeah, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. Like, she's very, very good at like these wood carvings. It's just, she doesn't have her own wood shop. So she just like, dude, she just like has like a little like plastic bag that she's just like carving over, and like those shavings either aren't getting all in the bag, or she knocks the bag over at some point and then the shavings get fucking everywhere.
Oh my god, that's why I bring it up. Sorry to get so like into this question, but like, whenever I want to do something, I kind of just like, I make it work.
She's a doer.
You know, I just make it work.
I love it. CJ, pick a number 1 through 179.
56.
Question number 56. If you could bring back one TV show that was canceled, which one would you bring back?
I have an answer for this. Do you have one, Ren?
I think I know what you're going to say.
Really?
You go first.
There was this show on Cartoon Network that I really, really liked as a kid.
I know what you're going to say now, but it's not what I thought you were going to say.
It only had one season, and it was called Symbionic Titan.
Yep.
And it was so awesome. They were like, control these big robots, and like, they went to it was these two high schoolers and like a robot, and the robot was just disguised as a big nerd, and like, they all went to school together, and then they fought crime and like aliens and stuff. I think it had two seasons actually, but it never got a proper ending, and it like the story never fleshed out, and it was just like, it was so cool. And I feel like whenever I look stuff up about it, it's just like, there's nothing on the internet.
Yeah. If anyone is curious, it's a show by Genndy Tartakovsky. If you know about Primal or Samurai Jack,
it's the same person.
Yeah. This is another series that he did, and she's right. That show is incredible. I also am a big fan.
What did you think of this?
I thought you were going to say what I'm going to say right now. Metalocalypse.
Oh, so true.
So Metalocalypse, for anyone who doesn't know, was an Adult Swim cartoon about a death metal band. And the premise of the show is that like the band had such a large like presence on the planet that they were like their own economy, and like the world just revolved around this band called Death Clock. And
like, every time they played a show, like people would die trying to get to the show.
Yeah,
like,
it's a very gruesome TV show. And it ended on a cliffhanger that never got a proper resolution. It ended the last thing that came out was a rock opera movie, and it's fucking incredible. So
so good.
If this
so
ever
good.
Reaches Adult Swim or Brendan Small, listen, you guys need to finish that.
My brother, right? Come on.
Yeah, y'all need to finish that.
You're gonna end on a rock opera cliffhanger right now? Come on, dude.
Yeah, y'all gotta fix that.
Figure it out.
I showed CJ and her sister it because they both like death metal and they both like cartoons, and I'm like, you guys would love this.
It's because when it was on when I was a kid, I thought it was scary, so I didn't watch it.
That is totally understandable. It can be as a child, if you're
that's
not like into morbid
that's
stuff.
Why I didn't watch it.
It's awesome though. So if you haven't seen it, go watch it.
As an adult, it's very enjoyable, and I liked it.
Amazing. So animated shows seem to be a common shared interest here.
Yeah, we like cartoons for sure.
Yeah.
Like cartoons or just anything animated?
We can appreciate anything animated, but we are all, we're both also huge like anime fans, but you know, we like American cartoons a lot. Like we rewatch Adventure Time and a regular show way too much.
Yeah, we love that. They're so, so good. Yeah. So funny. They're timeless. Like those shows are absolutely, I could watch it a million times.
Yeah, but the entire, we definitely appreciate the medium of animation as a whole for sure.
Have you guys watched Invincible?
Oh,
yes,
we love
Invincible.
Big time.
Yeah. Where's this other season? I'm waiting.
Bro, they did season 2 and 3 together. That's coming out soon.
I don't know. It might take a while, but he's right. They're doing the two seasons together. I don't know if we're going to get it this year. What I've heard, but I hope so because it's very violent.
Yeah, I think the official Twitter account put out a teaser like a month ago saying
good.
That end of this year.
Amazing.
Start.
Mm. Amazing. I had a friend on who works on the show. His name is Ross, and he, what does Ross do? He's like a script supervisor person, maybe. I don't know, but he loves his job. It seems like just like really good vibes over there. So I had to throw it in. If you guys watch.
Yeah. Anyone who doesn't watch, definitely go watch
it's
that.
Such a good
Not for the faint of heart or the squeamish.
Yeah.
No. Incredible. Maybe watch like Steven Universe after or something to like.
Yeah, exactly. A nice palate cleanser. Oh, we also like Steven Universe too.
I love Steven Universe.
I like Steven. Yeah, the songs are so incredible.
They're
I play them all the time on the TV, and Ren's like, why are you watching this again?
Yeah. I'm down to do like a rewatch every couple months, but she'll be like, "It's over, isn't it?" Like, oh my god, like every week.
That's incredible.
It's a good song, yeah. But like, bro, come on. I'm not a Pearl fan.
It's a ballad.
I'm not a Pearl fan, but that song is awesome.
Okay, 1 through 179, Ren. I believe it's your turn.
You said 56. Mm-hmm. I'll do
165. Okay. This is a silly question.
I'm a silly guy.
Do you prefer someone calling you or texting you?
Oh my god, don't fucking call me ever. Do not do that. Do not do that ever. Anyone listen, yo, if any of my friends are listening to this, y'all know that I don't like it when you call me. Text me. If it's just text me.
Even when I call you, don't like it?
That's different.
Okay.
You're different.
Okay. So Ren, explain the tiers. So CJ is she calls, it's not as anxiety inducing. Someone you haven't talked to in a few weeks, that's maybe like, why are you calling? What's the tier system?
It's damn.
Is it like people you text every day and then they call you? Then that you don't care about that, or if it's like...
No, it's more like if, because like I like, this is probably gonna sound like so lame to say like this, but I have a lot of friends and I talk to them all the time, probably more than I should, because you know I have a full-time job that I work every day that I requires all of my attention, and I probably shouldn't be texting on the job like that, but c'est la vie. And if they call me, I'm like, holy shit, this has to be like an emergency. And it's never an emergency. It's always such stupid, like, hey man, like, you want to go get lunch later? And I'm like, no. If you texted me and asked me that, then I'd probably say yes. But you called me and now I'm mad about it. Mm-hmm. So CJ is probably like tier one, where it's like not anxiety inducing. Any of my friends that I talk to all the time is probably like tier four. Super anxiety. Tier two, where it's like, I have just general phone anxiety, so I don't really like talking on the phone. But like tier two, where it's like not that big a deal, is maybe someone that I don't see too often, like one of my old bandmates, like Peter. I don't talk to him too often because he works even more than I do. But if he calls me, I'll answer, because even though I don't really like talking on the phone, because I just want to know what he's up to and like see what he needs. Tier three, maybe my parents, because they're both old and they don't really use their phones. And the last time I got like a phone call from my mom, not to be a downer, but she was like, hey, I have breast cancer. She beat it, by the way. She beat it, everybody.
Good for her.
Yeah, she's
That's
so
incredible.
Yeah, she's a super strong woman. She's very inspirational.
Love her.
But yeah, don't fucking call me.
CJ, are you as you overthink it as much as Ren? If that makes sense.
I'm not like fuck you if you call me. Like I'm not like that to that extent. Like upset about it. Definitely texting is preferred. But if you call me, and like you ask me if I want to do something with you or like hang out, and I have to say no over the phone, I feel so bad. Come on, man. If you texted, we both know it would have been easier if you just texted me. But if they called me, I don't have like, oh, they're dying, they need my help or something like that. Like, I don't get that like jolt of like, they need my help. Texting is preferred. I do have general phone anxiety with like other things, but like if it's like my friends or like my sister or my parents, like if they call me, it's not a big deal.
Got it. And this isn't on the list, but I just, both of you working at the van store, so this question for me, are we selling a lot of skate highs? Are we selling a lot of old schools? Like what are people buying at the van store these days?
White slip-on
Vans.
Oh, not even the checkerboard?
No, all white. And then
the white skate highs.
The white skate highs are like for sure. People buy those.
I low key be getting the white skate highs more than the white slip ones these days.
Nah, you're bugging, bro. People come in, they're talking about, yo, you got the classics.
Oh my god,
do you have the classics? And I'm like, what are you talking about? They're like, you know, the Vans. And I'm like, bro, this is the Vans store. I don't know what you're looking for.
You gotta be more specific.
Yeah, they'll spend like 10 minutes trying to articulate what they're looking for, and I'm the whole time I'm like, hey, let's go to the shoe deck, and we can look at all the shoes, yeah, and you can just point out which one you want.
Or like, do you have a picture? Like, I can't. If you say classics, or you say the white Vans, or like, can I get the black and white ones? There's like 100 shoes back there. I don't know what you're talking about.
But I'm going with the white slip-ons. Yeah. That's easily the most shoes that we sell.
I think the white skate highs. I think it's changed. I think it's the meta, the Vans meta has shifted.
No shot.
I think it's white skate highs.
No shot.
This is amazing. And what about your preferred Vans, each of you?
I like the... We've both been working there for a long time.
Yeah,
so
we're gonna get in trouble. I like Nikes.
I do wear
Jordans. Like, we're sneakerheads. We wear Jordans.
She asked about Vans.
I don't wear Vans. I hate them. I have flat feet.
Is it okay? I was gonna say they're not as, you know, they're meant for skating. They're not meant for like what Jordans are meant for.
Yeah, we do have.
I like the more out there Vans. So I'm not gonna be. I do like the old schools. But I'm not going to be, like, rocking the slip-ons that much. Like, I like the Lowlands.
Oh, yeah, they have the Lowlands
the
now.
The Lowlands are cool. Mm-hmm. And, like, I have Gilbert Crockett highs. They're, like, a skate shoe.
They're a skate high. It's just, like, a thin skate high.
They're a thin skate high, but they're not as, like, I don't know. They're, like, a slimmer version of the skate high.
Yeah, we do have, like, shoes with more, like, support now. We have, like, the new skate line. So if I had to pick a shoe, I'm probably just gonna pick the black and white skate highs.
And there was a shoe that they since discontinued. It was like a really chunky low top called the Varixes. I loved those. They discontinued them. R.I.P. Varixes, but those were awesome.
Yeah, I'm gonna be straight up. They canceled that shit because it was ugly.
No, they are not.
It was ugly.
No, you just don't get it.
That shit was.
You'll
buns.
Never get it.
It was buns.
No.
I have one other shoe question. As two salespeople on the floor, what's the difference between the authentic and the era?
Okay, so you want to take this one?
You can take it if you want.
You can do it. You can do it.
Are you sure?
Yeah, you can do it.
So the authentic came out before the era. Mm-hmm. And it was just the basic. We all know what an authentic looks like. The era came out for skaters, and it has a like cuff around the ankle, so it's like more comfortable for skaters to skate them.
It's like padded.
It's like a padded cuff around like the ankle area.
Yeah, they have basically the same silhouette, but there is like a stark difference in the feel when you wear the shoe.
100%.
And most people are hardline authentic or hardline era. You're never really gonna find someone who wears both.
They just feel different. Like I don't wear authentics. Like I don't really wear either, but if I had to, I would wear the era. Like,
yeah,
I wouldn't wear an authentic.
I'm never gonna wear with my flat ass feet. I'm not wearing.
I just think they look weird on my feet.
Yeah,
Bren's not lying. He has the flattest feet I've ever seen.
There's
in my life.
Negative arch on my feet.
It's like looking at like a 2x4 like from the side. Like that's his foot.
This was great. Thanks for taking me to Van's corner. Thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. If you want to talk more about Vans, we can shop game. It's not a big deal.
We can talk about it more.
I have a loose affiliation with the brand, so I was so intrigued when you said you work at the store. I worked in retail all through high school and college with a brand now that I would never, ever step foot in or be a part of, but I made so many friends the way that you two describe meeting each other. It does require you to chat a lot with people. And you know, the schedule is pretty flexible. If you have other passions, like it's a good job for, you know, cause you can work the closing shift and then it's really quiet and you like end up talking to a coworker and you make inside jokes. So I had a lot of feelings rush up when you described your retail kinship.
Yeah, we've worked in retail a long time, and like, working a part-time job is really flexible. Like most of our shifts are like 3 hours now because it's like not busy at all. We're like so close with all of our coworkers at Vans. They're like our other family. Like,
aww.
Yeah, we hang out with them quite a lot.
Yeah.
I said I don't really like Vans that much, but as a company, you know, when my old band was like touring and stuff, like shout out to Vans, they took care of me. I said,
nice.
Hey, I want to go on tour. They said, all right, bye. See you when you get back, whatever.
Yeah, they're extremely flexible. Cool. It's hard to get fired at Vance. It's extremely difficult.
Yeah.
That's a good job.
Yeah.
That's a good job. Okay, the last thing we do is we give advice. So this segment is called Asking for a Friend. So listeners write in questions, and they're not for anyone specific. You just kind of get the question that you get. Okay. So this listener wants to know about how to be a better communicator. Do either of you have any advice?
How to be a better communicator? Bro, just straight up, just like say what you feel.
No one can read your mind.
Yeah, no one can read your mind. Like that, like sure, CJ and I are on the same page. Yeah. 9 times out of 10, and we can read each other's minds, but that's still
that's a separate thing.
We, you know, there are times when she and I will get into like an actual like argument, and it almost always stems from just like a lack of communication. And like after like a day or two of us just being like tilted about it, like we just sit down and we just talk and we're just honest. And if you want to be a better communicator, you just got to do that, man. You just got
to think through your own feelings and like understand where you are, and then if better understanding that you have over it yourself, the easier it will be to like tell somebody else.
Yeah, I'm not saying you gotta come in hot and just fucking like going guns blazing. Take a day or two to like articulate what you feel and what you want to say, but just be honest and just unabashedly yourself. You know what I mean?
This question can also go like, are they bad at texting? Like, is that what they're talking about?
Is that what we meant? Or are we talking about like some more like object?
I don't know. I think the way you interpreted it initially is probably what they were looking for. Because sometimes folks have a hard time expressing their feelings in a constructive way. Sometimes also people are not good listeners, which I think is a big part of communication.
Yeah.
So I think what you said is right, is like perfect.
Oh, cool.
Cool. You guys are great with advice.
Yeah, we did it.
We try. I'm old. I've been around the block. I've seen a lot of things.
Oh, Ren, I'm much older, so don't worry. You're good. You're good. Okay, so Mila, what do we have coming up next? Where should we follow? Where should we stream? Just tell us all the things we need to know before we say goodbye.
So you can follow all of our socials. We're on like Twitter and Instagram. We are Mila for Fun. It's just MILAFORFUN.
Yep.
TikTok, we're also Mila for Fun, but it's with two N's.
Two N's.
Because someone out there took it.
Mila for Fun. Oh. And they're not using their account, and we can't report it.
Yeah. But so that's where you can follow us.
We have a lot coming out, honestly.
We have a music video for another song called The Trash Was Avant-Garde and Jack Will Love Me Forever.
These song titles are killing me. I love this.
Listen.
We grew up in the emo.
Yeah, like all the Fall Out Boy titles and getting at the disco and everything.
Exactly. Yes. See, you get where I'm coming from.
I get what you're doing. I like it.
Thank you. See, I told you it was a cool idea.
I thought at first when he was like doing the long song title, sorry to get off track here.
No, you're fine.
I was like, is it too long? Like, is it out of touch? Like, I didn't know, but I was like, now I'm like, that's it.
We're being true to ourselves. Yeah.
No,
you know?
All the Boys Night Out song titles just like completely had my attention when I was a young kid thumbing through records at a store. And I was like, what the heck does that song sound like?
Exactly, right? You see the song title, you're like, what the hell does this sound like?
Yes.
So, yeah, we have that song. We have that video coming out. I don't want to talk about it because it's something we're super excited about. So that's coming out. That should be coming out like
a month after.
Yeah, maybe like late April.
Late April.
And then we're currently talking to the two guys who shot the video for Tungwa to shoot another video. And hopefully that comes out in like May or June.
And we want to have all the singles out.
Yeah, we have as fast as we can. We mentioned like how we have like 7 or 8 songs earlier. Mm-hmm. The idea is to have content for each song and to maybe put them out one song a month.
Amazing.
I'm not sure how well that will go. I know that this song, the next song, and the third song, that will probably come out like in pretty quick succession. The rest of them kind of up in the air. We have a plan laid out, but we'll see how well it goes. So just keep an eye out on us. Follow us on our socials.
That's
amazing. Mila, how fun.
Thank you so much for having us. This is awesome. Yeah,
the whole world is your oyster. Like this thing is just starting. It's so exciting. Thanks for being here with me for CJ, your first interview. Thank you so much for trusting me.
Thank you for having us. Yeah, you made it such an enjoyable experience. Thank you.
Yeah, we're really
wonderful.
Thank you.
Well, thank you again, and everybody, go watch the video and the song because it really will just make you smile. And gosh, we need so much of that. So go check it out.
Thanks, guys.
Yes. Bye. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Yeah. Hope to hear back from you soon.
For sure. Thank you.
Bye.